The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, fellas. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, Joshua chapter 22, look at verse 24, where the Bible says, "And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel?" So here's what's happening. He says we need to pass it down because there's going to be a day when your children are going to talk to our children, and they need to understand how good God has been. Lord, they need to understand it's been the hand of the Lord. I want to show you something, how it gets conveyed. And we're going to talk this morning about how to handle detours in your life. Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not." And he's talking about, of course, the time when he has delivered, right before they go up to Ai. He's saying, "I've delivered the hand of the king. He's yours, the people, the city, the land." So here's what he's doing. He is comforting Joshua's heart. Leader, he said, "Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm telling you, it's already there. It's already been done." So this is the Lord talking to Joshua. Now look at Joshua chapter 10, if you will. Joshua chapter 10, look at verse 8. Joshua chapter 10, we're going to flip just a couple pages, but I want you to see how the progression goes here. All right, so here's what he says in Joshua chapter 10 and in verse 8. He said, "The Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not." All right, so he's talking now, of course, to Joshua again. The subject matter here is fear. That's the subject matter. All right, watch it again. Joshua chapter 10, look at verse 25. Joshua chapter 10, verse 25. Watch how the role changes here. The Bible says, "And Joshua said unto them, fear not," says, "nor be dismayed, be strong and of a good courage." All right, so now it goes from the Lord talking to Joshua, again, the Lord talking to Joshua, to Joshua now. Now, by the way, did you notice this? The Lord talked to Joshua twice before Joshua talked to the men once. Did you notice that? All right, so maybe Joshua a little bit timid, maybe Joshua a little bit shy, maybe Joshua just not really sure how to do it. All right, so, but here's what happens. Lord speaks to him twice, Lord to Joshua, Joshua to the men. All right, now watch this. Joshua chapter 22, verse 24, our text verse, the Bible says, "And if we have not rather done it for fear of what? For fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel?" All right, so here's what happens. It was from the Lord to Joshua, Lord, stay with me, to Joshua, Joshua to the men. Then, of course, the men is going to talk to their children. Why? Because here's what's going to take place. From time to time, children's going to get together, and they need to remember that the Lord is what does the work. So Joshua's saying, "Look, let's just get it straight. It is the Lord. Let's not leave the Lord out of the picture. Any victory you have in your life is because of the Lord. Any time that God answers prayer, it is because of the Lord. You have the goodness of God operating in your life today because of the Lord." All right? So here's what Joshua is trying to convey. He said, just don't leave the Lord out. Don't leave the Lord out. By the way, you would not be here today if it wasn't for the You would not be breathing today if it wasn't for the You would not have the house today that you have if it was not for the All right, you understand the Lord is involved. All right? Now, we understand that here he's trying to convey to them, you need not to fear. I'm going to tell you that you'll have detours in your life that will cause fears in your life. You ever get on a bike and fall off and then you're timid to get back on the bike again? You ever do that? Have you ever walked the tightrope? Okay? No, I never have. But have you ever stepped out, if you will, to do something and all of a sudden you know, there's a little bit of a fear. I remember I joined a boxing team when I was in high school, and I entered into the ring, and the guy hit me, and I thought, that hurt. I mean, I joined the boxing team not to be hit. You understand. All right, so there's going to be, I remember the first time I ever got up to preach, and I botched it. Now, I didn't botch it in a little way. I botched it in a big way. I mean, if you're going to go down big. And man, I botched it in a big, big way. You remember the story? So, I mean, I preached, I think it was a total, I had all these men in here. It was at a rescue mission, and I preached to them. My sermon lasted about 3 minutes, maybe 6 minutes. That was it. Felt like it was a total disaster. First time I ever preached at a church, a real, live, genuine, real McCoy church. I preached, I was scared, knees were shaking in between, dry mouth, eyes floating backwards. Walked outside, two older ladies trying to be an encouragement to a younger preacher said, "Don't worry, it cannot get any worse than this." All right, and so, listen, I'm saying this, there's going to be fears, okay? Fear is mentioned 400 times in your Bible. Listen to it now. Listen to it now. Fear not occurs 63 times in your Bible. So you are going to face more fears in your life, just on average, than you face the times where you fear not. You know, anytime you're going to accomplish something for God, there's always going to be bumps, there's going to be potholes, there's going to be detours. It was Isabel Moore that said this, "Life is a one-way street. No matter how many detours you take, none of them lead back. And once you know and accept that, you'll have an easier path in which to trod." Somebody said this, that there's two things that causes a person to detour. Fear, you ready? And failure. Fear and failure will cause a person to detour. Now, what has somebody said about these fears? Spanning over 375 years, back to 1632, Sir Francis Bacon said this, "Nothing is so terrible except fear itself." 200 years later, there was the Duke of Wellington that said this. He said, "The only thing I'm afraid of is fear." Franklin D. Roosevelt said this, the only thing I fear is fear itself. Somebody said that 9 out of 10 people has some type of fear in their life. Now, here's a statement. 9 out of 10 people have some type of fear in their life. Here's the list, if you will. There's insects people fear. There's heights, deep waters, financial problems, aging, and loneliness. But they all face fears in their life. Think about some of these people. Julius Caesar is a powerful military general in the Roman embassy, or the Roman Empire, if you will. He feared thunder. Every time that it thundered outside, I'm talking about Julius Caesar, would find a place to hide. There was a fear. Peter the Great, he was the Tsar of Russia. He stood 6 foot, 5 inches tall. He's afraid of bridges. Afraid of bridges, okay? Wouldn't cross them. He would always look for an alternative. One time, I'm talking about one time he overtook this army. Man, just great success overtaking the army. They escaped across the bridge. He could have annihilated them and wiped them out, and they never would have been a thorn in his flesh before. He came to the bridge and said, let him go. Let him go. Afraid of bridges. 18th century British writer Dr. Samuel Johnson was afraid of putting his left foot in a room first. There was a phobia. So what he would do, if he just happened to put a left foot in the room first, he would withdraw it and put his right foot in twice to make up for it. He had a phobia, okay? Somebody says fear breeds inactivity. Inactivity breeds a lack of experience. Lack of experience breeds ignorance, and ignorance will always breed fear and failure. The Bible talks about several ways to be able to overcome fear, but let me tell you about fear. 60% of our total fears are unwarranted, unwarranted. In other words, you can't look at them and say there's reason to warrant this. 20% of our fears are things of our past, things of our past. 10% of our fears are those things that are petty things, don't really matter anyway. The remaining 10% of the fears, only 4 to 5% of them are justifiable. George S. Patton, he was a general in World War II. general in World War II, you would look at him. He was a mean man. He was a mean man. But here's what he said one day. He was walking along a side of a bunch of men that were getting ready to go into battle. The young man he was walking beside was somebody, of course, of a lower stature than him in the military service. The young man said, "Have you ever been afraid?" Patton said, "I'm not a brave man. Truth of the matter, I'm usually a coward in heart. I have never been around the sound of a shotgun that I did not see my entire life pass before me. I constantly have sweaty hands, sweaty palms, and a lump in my throat in every battle." Okay, now what am I saying? I'm saying everybody faces fear. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. You're going to have some fears. You're going to have some detours in your life. Now, how is it that you can overcome it? Let me show you a couple of things. Statement number one, face your detour. Face your fear and overcome it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." All right, so what do? I face that detour, I face that fear, and I decide I won't let it have precedence over me, but I will get with God and allow God to have precedent over the detour or over the fear. All right, and so what do? You have to face the fear. Remember one time I got on the bike, and I just didn't know. We got a brand new bike, didn't know how to ride it, and my dad put me on top of the hill. And he said, "Hey, this is your bike." He pushed me. I'm going down the hill. As I go down the hill, I pick up speed. I said, "Man, this is great. You know, you just sit on it and it goes all by itself." I didn't know what the pedals down there were for, you know. And so I just went. It was neat, okay. And then all of a sudden, I went down to the plain area, started to go up the incline, and the bike fell over. My dad said the pedals are down there to make it go up the other side. By the way, anytime you have to climb the other side, you got to pedal. Nothing comes easy. You have to pedal. That's why it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind." You think of this man. He failed in business at the age of 22. Age of 23, he ran for the legislation and lost. Age of 24, he failed in business again. Didn't have a good record. The following year, he was elected in the legislature. Age 26, his sweetheart died. Went into total depression, thought about suicide. Age of 27, he had a nervous breakdown because he lost the love of his life. Age of 29, he was defeated as post-speaker of the House and in the state legislature. Age of 31, he was defeated as an elector. Age of 35, he ran for Congress and lost. Man, just losing all the time. Age of 37, he ran for Congress and finally won. 2 years later, he ran for it again and lost a seat in Congress. Failure after failure after failure. Age of 46, he ran for the United States Senate and lost. The following year, he ran for the vice presidency and lost. Then he ran for the Senate again and lost. Over and over and over again. Lost, defeat, lost, defeat, lost. Defeat, that all of a sudden at the age of 51, the perpetual loser by the name of Abraham Lincoln became the 16th president of the United States. So do we understand what you do is you overcome failure with victory? Now it may take you a while. Person gets up to sing a song and they botch it. That's not time to quit. It's time to practice more. A person goes out soul winning, gives somebody a gospel track, and they refuse it. It's not time to quit. It's time to pass out another gospel track. Somebody goes, and they stand up, and they try to preach a message, and they can't remember their text. They can't remember where they're going. They can't even remember where they came from. All right? What do? You rise up, and you do it again. All right, statement number one, you face the detour, the fears in your life, overcome them. Statement number two, develop a burning desire within you to accomplish the will of God. Whatever the will of God is, that's primary. You develop a burning desire in you. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, listen to Jeremiah. He said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay."
All right, so Jeremiah said, look, I tell you what, man, I'm hurt on the inside. I quit. I just quit. I'm going to walk away. And he went home, and it just kept eating at him, eating at him. He couldn't quit. He said, man, it was burning so deep inside, I just had to rise up and just go forward. All right, now may I say, when you get that burning desire inside of you to do the will of God, that will of God will carry you through any detour. Okay, you ever come to church? And by the way, don't raise your hand on this one. You ready? You ever come to church and the preacher preaches and you get nothing out of it? Have you been there? I've been there. Have you ever gone to Sunday school and you sit there and the teacher is teaching and you are thinking, wish he'd hurry up. I have better things to do. You ever do that? You ever come back to church on Sunday night? You force yourself to come. You make yourself come, but you really don't want to be there. You ever do that? You come out of character, duty, and a love for God. But you know, you're really not turned on about being there. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what happens. When you get that burning desire inside of you, that we went out soul winning yesterday. It's funny. I said we had an international team, my soul winning team yesterday. We had Brother Bontegal, he's Filipino. Brother John, he is Mexican. We had Brother Edapaya, he's Nigerian. And then you had me, all right? And so I said, man, we can do it all. We can do it all. We've got an international team right here. All right, but now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. You see this, there's that burning desire. One of the men said this, and by the way, I didn't think it was by accident. God ordains all things. We were heading home, and my daughter said, hey, Dad, you know, Brother Dom, we preached that same message last year. Looked in my Bible, sure enough. Looked in my old Bible, I'm breaking in a new Bible, but sure enough. All right, here's what one of the men said. He said, man, he said, God got a hold of my heart last year with that message, and God had to bring it again just for me. Come on. Did you know God makes no mistakes? God allows things to burn inside of us. You go home and say, man, I should have did that, shouldn't have did that. A burning. You decide, hey, I should be doing this, and you don't do that, and Holy Ghost says, okay, let me just remind you of that over and over again. There's a burning. God speaks to your heart. Supposed to come to an altar. Don't come to an altar. Burning. All of a sudden, the word of God goes out. God tells you, hey, you need to be that soul winner. You need to be that dedicated. You need to follow Christ, all right? And there's that burning on the inside. Don't read your Bible. You get away from it. You lay it down. A man of God gets up, begins to preach about reading the Bible. You get under conviction, and there's burning there. There's burning there, all right? The Bible talks about how we should develop that type of, if you will, allow that development of that Holy Ghost inside of us to burn us. It was Edison that knew 1,800 ways not to make a light bulb. But he had something inside just pushing him. There was an urge there. There was an urge there. Now, may I say, statement number one, you face a detour, the fear, you overcome it. Statement number two, you develop a burning desire within you to accomplish God's will. Statement number three, you focus on things you can control. Focus on what you can control. You can't control everything, but you can control you. Okay? You can love somebody not return the love. That doesn't make a difference. You control. You're in a singing group, one guy is off. Now, by the way, they did a great job just singing a few minutes ago. This is not an illustration about them. You're in a singing group, one guy is off, two guys are on. Two guys are on. You figure out which one it was. Two guys were on, okay? And what do? You don't look at that and say, well, I tell you what, man, I wish I could have controlled his lips. No, you let it go. Now, you practice more, you help. Here's what it says. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count myself listen, I count not myself as to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. We've taught many times, happiness is based on happenings. Joy comes from within that God puts there. We have to decide that here's what we're going to do. We're going to find joy, and we're not going to always let the happening cause us to lose happiness. I love the story. Thomas Edison, they were working on the battery. It was in December. It was on a night in 1914. It was the nickel iron accolade type of battery they were working on. It exploded. 10-year project. Exploded. It caught the building on fire. Edison's boy was very concerned. His dad was in that particular building. He thought, man, I'm losing my dad. My dad's dying. My dad's perishing in the fire. And so he went running outside. They had a huge garden behind the house. He went running outside, went through the huge garden. He was yelling, Dad, Dad, are you okay? Dad, Dad, are you okay? Couldn't find Dad. Ran around the building. Dad, are you okay? He was worried. He started talking to all the workers. Hey, where's Dad? Is Dad still in the building? He was worried that his dad got caught up in the explosion and was perishing in the flames. All of a sudden, Dad comes walking out from behind the building. He said, son, go get your mother. Go get your mother. You've never seen fireworks like this before. This is the greatest burn I've ever seen. It's a beautiful fire. Go get your mother. All right, now, wait a minute. He went in, got mom. They came out, got chairs. Sat down and watched it burn. Next morning, 4:30 in the morning is when he met with his men. He met with his men, and he said, by the way, he didn't mention anything about the tragedy. He said, time to rebuild. Time to rebuild. And listen to what he said. I've got the notes on this. He got them together. He said, time to rebuild. He said, I want you to go down to the Erie Railroad Company. I want you to get all the cranes. We got a mess to clean up. Get all the cranes. He said, let's clean up all the mess. By the way, he said, go over here and get this type of material. We're going to start building immediately. Start building immediately. He said, oh, by the way, I've got one small problem. Does anybody have any money? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying you focus on what you can control. All right? I go out soul winning a lot. I do follow-ups a lot. I do a lot of counseling, a lot of helping people. Okay? What I can control is what I'm doing. That's all I can control. Okay? I'm saying this. Statement number one, you face the detours. Face the fears, overcome them. Statement number two, get that burning desire inside of you to accomplish the will of God. Statement number three, you focus on things you can control. I'm talking about how to overcome detours. Statement number four, put some victories under your belt. Put some victories under your belt. Did God ever answer a prayer for you? Did he ever answer a prayer for you? Have you ever taken a gospel tract, handed out a gospel tract, you walked away, and you felt good about it? Have you ever done that? Have you ever shook somebody's hand and it brought a smile to their face? Have you ever gone to the altar and prayed? Have you ever? Have you ever invested yourself in somebody else's life so much that they came to church because of you? Has that ever happened? Have you ever treated God like God wants you to treat him, where you're faithful in your tithes and offerings, where God now says, I'll open the windows of heaven in your financial world, and I'm going to pour you out a blessing? Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced the fact of being able to get some victories and put some victories underneath your belt? Have you ever done that? I remember the day many years ago, relatively talking about a victory. We were over in a place called Malay Balay. It's in the Philippines. Had 10 pastors that was helping. A brother in Dallas partnered with me on this up in the mountains. And so here we are up in the mountains, Malay Balay. It's in Mindanao, where they're going, and up in the mountains. We'd worked it out with the mayor of the city to be able to get this huge theater type of thing. And we're able to get it for free. We had 10 pastors that had partnered with us or so to be able to underwrite it. Each one of the pastors had about 50 that was in their congregation. Okay, that's about it. We began to pray that God would fill that big tabernacle. It was a big, big outdoor type of, we had chairs that was brought in, and we got men to kneel, and we had men that prayed, and then we advertised, and by Tuesday night, that gigantic, gigantic place was absolutely jam-packed. Yeah, hundreds of people coming to know Christ as Savior that week. Now, wait a minute. May I tell you this? May I tell you that it's important that you put some victories underneath your belt. Put some victories underneath your belt. Have some experiences that you can go back to and say, if God did it then, stay with me, then God can do it now. Amen. See, there ought to be a motivation to pray. Okay, you say, well, preacher, I just pray a little bit. But if you pray a little bit, isn't that better than nothing? Well, I came to church this morning. Man, I feel good about myself. Came to church this morning. Okay? Hey, that's a victory for you. Now, don't downplay yourself. Thank God for you. Now, what do? Now, you try and come back again. You take those steps. You try and come back again. You take those steps. And before you know it, you look back and you've come to a Sunday school. You've come to preaching service. You've been there for 6 months. And you look back and say, wow, I didn't think I could do it. May I say with God, all things are possible. I said, may I say with God, all things are possible. You know, all it is just stepping out in obedience and following the will of God and following what God would have you to do. And I'm saying that here we understand you put victories underneath your belt and you got something. Sometimes I think here's what we do. We only look at the big victories. That's all we see. Big victories. It was Peter Cartwright. Peter Cartwright was traveling. Old circuit riding preacher. He was traveling, stop and preach, went into an inn late at night. Right prior to going into the inn, he had to water his horse about 10 miles out of town. He went over there, put his horse down by the pond or the river stream, whatever it was, watering the horse. The story goes, he went over here underneath the oak tree, took a nap, heard something growl. Looked up, there's a huge grizzly between him and the horse. He didn't know if the grizzly was going to kill the horse, he'd have to walk 10 miles, or kill him, he'd never walk again. So he began to pray in earnest, dear God, please remove the, praying, begging God, crying out, dear God, please remove the grizzly bear. Please give me safety. Please protect my horse. He opened his eyes after crying out to God. Grizzly was gone. Got on his horse, rejoiced. God answered prayer, rode 10 miles. Got into the inn that night, late. He's tired, ridden all day long. It's not like you get in your car and you go 10 miles and you're there. Ridden all day long. Arrived at the inn late that night, checked in, got his room, went upstairs, got on his bed clothes, got ready to pop into the bed. All of a sudden, here comes that mosquito. Mosquito comes around, he swats. 1 hour later, still swatting. 2 hours later, 3 hours later, sun's coming up. 5 hours later, goes over and looks in the mirror, blood-stained eyeballs, no sleep, begin to chuckle. I could trust God enough to get rid of the bear, but I couldn't trust God enough to get rid of the mosquito. See, here's what we do. We'll trust God to remove big things, but then we fail to trust God to remove small things. You know, in God's world, and you're in his world, by the way, everything is important to God. You say, I think I can handle it. No, you can't. Well, I think I can overcome it. No, you can't. Well, I think that I can take care of this. No, you can't. Why don't you just decide to get along with God and let God be the one that directs and helps and takes care of you? Here it says, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Think about it. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Listen to it now. Even our faith. So what overcomes the world? What overcomes the world is our faith. With the same faith that David took the sling and he killed the lion. It's the same faith that David took the sling and killed the bear. With the same faith that David took the sling and killed the giant. Same faith. Same faith. Now, so what do you do? Here's what you do. You face your detour, you face your fears, decide to overcome it. Develop that burning desire on the inside for God's will, for what's right. For what's right. By the way, what you feed in is what you will feast upon. If you feed it in, okay, I know people, here's what they do. They feed in negative, feed in negative, feed in negative. You watch them walking down the hallway, no smile, no happiness. Why? Because what you take in is what you become. Some people look like ice cream bowls. What you take in is what you become, okay? You develop a burning desire to accomplish God's will. You focus on the things that you only can control. You put some victories underneath your belt. Here you go, I'm done. Then you feed yourself daily to become strong. Feed it with what? Feed your faith. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. What is faith? Faith is forsaking all. I trust him. How do I feed my faith? You know there's a way to feed your faith. I didn't say feed your face. Feed your faith. Now there is a way to feed your faith. How do you do that? You're sitting here today and you say, preacher, I wish I was as strong as so-and-so. Preacher, I look out here and I see some Christians. They look like they're strong Christians. Look like they have good families. Look like that they know where they're going in life. I wish I could have that. Preacher, I wish I could be like so-and-so. Man, I've messed up here, and I messed up here, and I messed up here, and I don't know if God could ever use me. Man, I wish I could have it together. How can you do it? Here's what it says. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith goes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? So what happens? You come Sunday morning. Okay, by the way, the word of God is like a vitamin, not like a... Oh, sometimes it's like a medicine shot. Sometimes it is. But you look at it, most of the time, the word of God, as you're coming to church, is like a vitamin. You take it, you don't walk outside and say, wow, man, look at me. My biceps are twice as big. My neck button popped. Wow, look at me. I'm Mr. Universe. Doesn't happen that way. Take a vitamin, here's what happens. It begins to work inside, takes a long time to build. Works inside. See, here's the average person. They come to church on Sunday morning, or maybe they'll come on Sunday night, Wednesday night, said, hey, I heard that message, but God didn't do a bang. You're looking for the wrong thing. God's not gonna do a bang. Here's what happens. You come to church, you hear the message, Holy Ghost of God says, okay, I'm feeding your soul. Feeding your soul. You come back, you hear another message. Holy Ghost of God uses that. Feed your soul. Feed your soul. Isn't it neat? Isn't it neat? Preacher gets up, preaches one truth. Over here, somebody gets that out of it. Over here, somebody gets that out of it. Over here, somebody gets that out of it. That out of it. That out of it. Isn't it neat? Preacher will preach something general, and somebody will say, oh, that stepped on my toes. Somebody else will say, man, that was good. Somebody else would say, wish you would have got with it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives personal application. Man of God gets up and just shoots it the way God gave it to him. And the way God gave it to him, the Holy Spirit said, if you'll shoot it that away, here's what I would do. I will personalize it in that person's life over here differently than I will personalize it in that person's life over here. That's the Holy Ghost job. All right? And so what takes place is this. What I'm supposed to do is feed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, well, I come on Sunday morning, I don't get that much out of it. That means you need to come on Sunday night. Well, I come on Sunday night, I didn't get that much out of it. Okay, that means you're not getting enough. So you come back on Wednesday night. Well, I come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm just not growing. You look in the mirror. You look in the mirror and you say, boy, I tell you what, I look the same as I did last week. You look into your spiritual life and say, boy, I look the same as I did last month. Somebody asked Dr. Howes one day, how long did it take you to prepare that message? He said, 42 years. You become mature, listen to me, from within. It takes time. Here's what you do. You come to church, you get right with God, and you say, man, I want change like that. Now, by the way, I've seen people make change like that. But I've also seen people make change like that, then the Christian FBI can't find them. They drop off of the scope. You just can't find them. Here's what God will do. Don't give up on God. God, come on. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. He's still working on me. And I come to church and say, wow, never saw that before. Read your Bible and say, he really put that in there? I'm saying you feed your faith. Now, if you want your faith to grow, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So how do you grow your faith? You have to hear more. How do you hear more at a church? When services are there, you come so that you can hear more. The more you come, the more God builds your faith. It makes sense. When you sit at the table and you eat, you get filled. You can sit at the table and never eat, never have the filling. You can decide never to go to the table and starve. That's a choice. Aren't you glad God gives you choices? Hello? But what do? You decide, you come to church. As you come to church, God speaks to your heart. You gonna like everything? No. Okay, you ready? How many have ever gone out to eat, you got something on your plate, and you said, this is nasty? Raise your hand. Okay, wait a minute. How many of you ate something? By the way, you got it. It was off of the food bar or food line, whatever it was. So you went up, you served yourself, went to first or some point, served yourself. You got it. So, this is nasty. Wish I wouldn't have got that. Now, you know, but did you go, how many got something off a food bar? It was nasty. You set it aside, but you still went back to the food bar again. Sure. I was like, church. I was talking to somebody the other day. He said, I'm never going to go back to church again. I'm bitter. I said, you shop at Walmart? Well, yeah. Have they always treated you correct? Well, no. You still shop at Walmart? Well, yeah. By the way, how many of you in here have ever had the perfect marriage and you never got in a fight? Raise your hand. Perfect marriage, never got in a fight. Yeah, a bunch of unmarried guys raising the hand. We got 13-year-olds over here. That's me, Pastor. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Come on. Somewhere in your life, you're going to have to decide how much you want to grow. You got to decide. Yes, sir. If you want to grow this much, just come to Sunday morning service. That's how much you grow. Want to grow a little bit more? Hit some of the Sunday nights. Want to grow a little bit more? Hit some of those Wednesday nights. Then it becomes a desire. Okay, ready? Go into a restaurant. Here's what you say. Pulling up outside. You say, I'm not hungry. I don't know why we're coming here. You walk inside, start to smell it. Well, maybe I could eat a little bit. You sit down and say, man, I'm starving. You know why? Because you brought yourself in the presence of something that caused hunger. Some of you that just come Sunday morning, you ought to step out, add to your faith by coming Sunday night. Some of you that just come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, you ought to step out, add to your faith a little bit. Start coming on some Wednesday night Bible studies. Some of you that come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, ought to step out when we have a conference and say, that's for me. You will only grow to the point that you allow that word of God to be in you, and what God uses is church. Closing story. Years ago, there was, back in the day, when there was a thing called 60 Minutes. By the way, this was back in my day. And Brother Mason's day. Back in the day when they had 60 Minutes, Mike Wallace, you remember him, Brother Mason? Okay. By the way, that's Brother Mason right there. Had 60 Minutes. He had what they call a Sherpa guide. The Sherpa guides were known for climbing, if you will, that which was the side of a mountain. These were the ones that climbed the side of the Naples Mountain. And so a Sherpa guide brought him in, and he said, now look, who are you training to go next? These were called the Sherpa guides from Naples. They practiced. Mike Wallace said, who are you going to take up next? What they would do is they would practice there, and then they would climb the big one called Mount Everest. This family, these men were experts. Mike Wallace said, who are you going to take up next? And the man said, oh, we always have people to take up. He said, well, don't you understand it's dangerous? Yes. Don't you understand that you could fall off? Yes. Mount Everest is a very tall mountain. You could lose your life. Don't you understand that? He said, yes. Mike Wallace said, I understand. Why do you keep doing this over and over? The Sherpa climber looked back at him and said, apparently, sir, you have never been to the top. Okay, I'll stay with the thought. Somebody said, where'd they get all that joy? Why is somebody in a sound booth saying amen to a pastor? Or saying, come on. It's because he's way up there. He's at the top. See things differently from up there. You ever see somebody at a ball game? Man, they're sitting over there. Come on, meek, quiet, timid in church. Sitting over there just kind of watching. All of a sudden, their boy gets the basketball. Come on, son! Come on, drive it! No, turn around. Wrong way. Drive it! Go! Bounce! Come on, put it, whoo, ha! Doesn't make a lot of sense, they just get it out. I've heard people at church don't make a lot of sense. They just get it out. Preacher's preaching, somebody said, whoo! The word is amen. Or in his case, come on. Now, I'm saying this. Here's what we understand. We understand, feed your faith daily. You want to grow? You got to grow. Think on it. Come on, think. Reason with me. You got to grow by purpose. You grow by purpose. Some of you men did not become big boys by accident. It was by purpose. You grow by purpose, all right? And so here's what the Bible says. You're going to have some detours. You will. If you're married today, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some detours. If you're in any type of friendship, relationship, you're going to have some detours. If you're in any type of relationship, you're going to have some detours. If you're in any type of business, you're going to have some detours. God tells us how to treat the detours.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.